الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to a fantastic episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. Alhamdulillah, and we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, today is a very beautiful day, and this is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I to spend this day doing those acts which lead towards his obedience, which leads one towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this in itself is something for you and I to be grateful for, to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled you and I to open our eyes in the morning, so that this day we can spend it in doing good deeds, in sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as always, as a reminder, it is beneficial for us to always show thanks, always show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you are asked, how are you doing? Then always reply by saying, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And together with all of that, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur illah. One who cannot thank people, one who does not show gratitude to people, cannot show gratitude and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank your loved ones, be grateful to your parents, to your children, to your family, to other fellow Muslims as well. And by you being grateful, you would see much barakah, prosperity in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter, inshallah, azza wa jal. Well, today, alhamdulillah, we do have a very beautiful and eye-opening topic, and that is admonitory examples. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio our most honorable guest, Mawlana Naushad Attari, hafizahullahu ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, how are you keeping, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, all good. How are you doing?
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Mawlana Sahib, I hope your day has been going well so far.
Alhamdulillah, fruitful.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Mawlana Sahib, today we do have an eye-opener topic actually. That is admonitory examples. So as we go along this beautiful episode, we are going to be gaining lessons from previous nations, past nations. And what's important is, you know, together with the views of Madani Channel, listening to this, it's not just an incident, or it's not just a parable. Rather, what's important is the lessons to take from it.
Absolutely.
So inshallah, we would be diving into this beautiful topic, inshallah. But let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of Madani Channel, admonitory examples. Throughout history, we have seen, and perhaps some of you may have read, so many different nations came before us, so many different tribes, so many different individuals came before us. And what happened in their lives it is for us to take a lesson from that. We should not be repeating what they have done. Look at Fir'aun, Nimrud, all of these evil, wicked individuals, they have been destroyed. So you and I, we should not be following in their footsteps. Rather, we should take a lesson from that and follow into the beautiful footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to open up this beautiful discussion, there is a very beautiful incident narrated by the great Tabi'i, Sayyidina Wahab bin Munabbi rahimahullah. He states that once Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was commanded that, O Ibrahim, pack your provisions and go into the land and witness the wonders of our power. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he acted upon the command, he packed his belongings and he now set off on this journey. So as he traveled, he reached near the seashore and there he saw a slave herding some goats. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam asked him that, O slave, do you have water? Do you have some milk? And the slave said, yes, I will provide whatever you prefer. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam told him, give me some water to drink. So the slave, he then took, he had a staff with him. He took his staff in his hand. He went near a rock and he paused over there and he said something. Thereafter, he struck the rock with his staff and immediately a spring of water gushed forth from the rock. And he filled water from the spring, gave it to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he drank the water and he looked at the slave with astonishment. And the slave asked, are you astonished to see a spring gushing from a rock? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said that, how could I not be astonished? I mean, because it is a matter of astonishment. So amazement for me to be amazed, it's something natural. Thereafter, the slave said that, I will tell you a secret. And this secret is that I have been informed that there is a prophet of Allah whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his khalil, his close friend. Whatever I ask through the means of that khalilullah alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala grants it to me. Even now, I struck the rock with my staff using his medium, using his wasila, and a spring gushed forth from it. And upon hearing this, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, O slave, I am the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his khalil. Allahu Akbar. So hearing this, the slave, Munasab, he became so excited. He became so joyous, overjoyed. So now he had mixed feelings of joy and surprise. So he asked, are you really Khalilullah? And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he replied, yes, I am Khalilullah. And when he heard this, Munasab, that slave fell down unconscious and he took his last breath at that very moment. Narration mentions that a light descended from the sky at that time and it enveloped the body of that fortunate slave. And when the light receded, it could not be determined whether his body was taken up to the sky or buried in the earth. Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he continued his journey. That was incident number one, right? Now he continued his journey across the land to witness the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as he walked, he reached now a mountain where there was a house with two doors. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam entered and he found a bay inside upon which a body was laid. A body was laying there. So 70 fine garments were placed over it. A tablet was placed near its head. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he read the tablet. And on the tablet, it was inscribed, I am Shaddad bin Ad. I lived for 1,000 years. I defeated 1,000 armies. I built the city of Iram. But when the time of my death came, all my strategies, all of it failed. I gathered doctors, I gathered physicians from all over the world in my palace, but none of them could save me from death. None of it. And then he says that whoever sees me should not be deceived by the world. Hmm. O people, keep the doors of the world narrow for yourselves. You do not possess the kingdom that I possessed. Hmm. You will not live as long as I lived. Hmm. And you will not accumulate as much as I accumulated. Hmm. He says, pay heed. The world is deceptive. It is a killer. Hmm. It forever eludes those who yearn for it. And upon witnessing this wonder, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he returned. Allahu Akbar. So, Masab, these were two incidents that had occurred when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he traveled through the land and he witnessed, Masab, these two incidents. What lessons, Masab, can we derive from this?
Well, lessons can be derived for the one who is willing to take lessons. Mm. Because lessons are all around us.
Right.
We see people making mistakes in the past and they learn from those mistakes. Mm. We see other people that they don't worry about learning. They say that mistakes is another name for experience.
Right.
Because you made the mistake. You had some blockages in your life, some obstacles there. Maybe you failed at something. But if you don't learn from that, then who is in loss then? Mm. Who is the real fool?
The person himself who didn't take that lesson.
That you know, if I do this, if I say this, what the consequences are. So the intelligent and wise person will learn from their mistakes, but the really wise person will learn from the mistakes of others. Mm. Now these incidences, there's plenty of other incidences where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about different nations, what happened to them because of their consistent disobedience.
Right.
And how they were annihilated, they were completely destroyed. Hmm. No sign of them remained.
Allah.
But today we see so many of us, we are engaged in the same disobedience that they were doing. Hmm. What do you think is going to be the outcome? So are we really intelligent people? That we read about the stories of the different nations that were destroyed, but we are doing the same mistakes that they did. We are committing the same sins that they committed. And we are doing the same disobedience like them.
Allah.
If we go in the very beginning, something of admonition for us to learn from is the story of Shaitan.
Ah.
What happened to him? Where he was, you know, they say how the mighty have fallen.
Right.
I mean, he had a special, you know, provision, a special status Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to him. So much of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed him at one point as the teacher of the angels. So much of ibadat he did. Every spot on earth he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so handsome. And what happened to him? He lost all of it because of disobeying a direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we
such
must
a big lesson, isn't it?
A great lesson indeed. But who is there to take the lesson? That's the question we have to ask.
Right.
Don't look left and right. Look at ourselves. Am I learning from those lessons? Think about Shaitan, how his arrogance overpowered him. Because before him, there was no Shaitan.
Yeah.
He became the first one to reject the direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became the first one to take a qasam on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lie.
Allah.
And lie. This is why ulama ikram have said that Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Lady Hawa radiallahu anha, that's why they believed him. Because he took a qasam on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pure name that don't worry, everything will be okay, you can eat from the tree. And he was the first one to lie, taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an oath.
Allah.
So Adam alayhi salam thought that nobody can take Allah's name
and lie.
And lie.
Yeah.
So they believe him. Yes, it was in the grand plan of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nevertheless, Shaitan, his desires, his lower self, his nafs, his arrogance, his pride, all of these things destroyed him permanently. Where there's no chance for him to even make tawbah. Now look at ourselves now. Do I have any of those characteristics of pride, of arrogance, that I am better, a superiority complex? Why don't I learn from what happened to Shaitan? That's admonition itself.
And he is the open enemy of man.
He is adu wa mubeen. He is the clearly open enemy of us. You claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongues, but with your actions you follow Shaitan. You claim you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with your tongues, But in your actions, you're obedient to shaitan. So how can the du'as be answered?
Mm.
Now, I mustn't look at those people. I must look at myself.
Yeah, a self-introspection.
Yeah, I mean, am I one of those kind of people? That, you know, I say, yes, definitely. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm a believer. I'm a Muslim. And ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm saying it with my tongue. But is it only lip service? Am I not learning from the previous nations? Those people who used to do this also,
right.
But through their actions, through their deeds, they're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not performing salah, violating rights of each other.
Then they haven't really taken a lesson.
Many people don't. They haven't taken the lesson. Because many of us live like there's no tomorrow. Like there's no accountability.
But then for a person to take admonition from someone or from something or from some incident, it is imperative for a person's life, right? Why is it the case where at times a person does not, whether intentionally or unintentionally, does not want to take the that admonition?
This is to do with pride. Who are you to tell me?
Because yet the examples, the proofs are there that what happened to previous nations. So how is it such?
There are plenty of evidences and lessons that the glorious Quran mentions, that the blessed Ahadith mentions. If a person doesn't like somebody correcting them, it means there's pride in the heart. There's arrogance in the heart. And you may get some people like this.
Right.
If you try to correct them, then you know, they say like, you know who I am. I'm not scared of anybody. Nobody can harm me.
Right.
Why, don't correct me. I'm bigger than you. I'm more intelligent than you. I'm more educated than you. It reminds me, right? There was this one madrasa student.
Right.
Now, the teacher was teaching him about basic fiqh. And so what the student, small boy, what he went to do? When he went to the masjid, he saw some uncles there, elderly people. They were doing some wrong things according to fiqh.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe folding of the pants for salah and stuff, right?
Right.
So he went up to them. He's a small boy, 11 years, 10 years old. He said, uncle, you mustn't do this, yeah, because it's wrong. And the uncle started to scold him.
Allah.
Who are you? I've been reading salah much longer than you. Who told you this year? He says, no, my teacher told me. He says, no, your teacher doesn't know what he's talking about.
Just like that, straight up.
This is arrogance. We're supposed to be thanking somebody who corrects us. We're supposed to be thanking somebody who points out our faults. Of course, it must be done in privacy. That if somebody is admonishing you with the good words, with polite words, you must thank the person.
That's that saying, one who teaches you one verse, he's your teacher.
Yeah, he's your teacher. So we see this today, unfortunately, that people, you know, many people, it's actually due to arrogance and pride. That no, who are you to tell me? And people start arguing with you. People start, maybe they want to fight with you. So if you see a wrong, yes, we are taught to change it with your hands, otherwise change it with your tongue, otherwise in your heart you must know this is wrong. Of course, that is وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, the weakest part of Iman.
Right.
But if you know that the person can listen to me, then it's your duty, it's your responsibility to go and correct them in privacy. But if you know that, hey, for my past experience, if I say anything, he's going to hurt me, he's going to physically assault me, he's going to verbally abuse me, then you're not responsible. They are responsible.
Okay.
Then your duty, you don't have to worry about it then.
Right.
If you still want to go ahead, make good intentions, you'll get reward for it. But since we're talking about admonitions, especially of the past,
right,
even in the current era, we see so many people doing so many wrong things, and then, you know, negative things happen to them. Then they start 100%. Complaining, there's no blessings in my life, I don't have barakah. Maybe I am the cause of it. Maybe I'm doing something that is causing the lack of blessings in my livelihood, in my home, in my life, that I don't have sukoon, I don't have tranquility, there's no harmony in my home.
Instead of playing the blame game.
Yeah. And then if somebody does something wrong, as they say, you know, you target the problem, not the person.
Yes.
Target the problem. Don't attack the person.
Right.
Because the next time they see you, they'll run away somewhere else. And that fellow, they always, you know, says negative things about me.
Right.
Do it in the right way, in privacy as well. And if we don't take the lessons, if we don't know, if we neglect our past, all those stories where nations had been destroyed because of this, their disobedience, then that is a foolish person. Because he'll continue to engage in those same mistakes, and there's only one pathway to disobedience, and that is the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. You know, Masaf, you have explained this and mentioned this, you know, so beautifully of how important it is to take a lesson from what happened to the previous nations, take lessons from the lives of others as well, because that can be beneficial for one's own life. And Masaf, what's really amazing is that we see in the story when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he came across that slave, and that slave told him about his secret, and his secret was that he uses the medium of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Subhanallah,
subhanallah. So even here, Masaf, you know, this slave used the medium of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his requests, his du'as were accepted. Imagine, you know, us using the medium and wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, that actually reminds me, the views of Madani channel, that once a blind companion, Masaf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and requested, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please supplicate to Allah that my eyes be cured. So, Nabi, this companion, he requested this in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only supplicate for him, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him a dua, taught him a supplication, so that his ummah, his followers, may continue to receive blessings from it right up until the day of Qiyamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that go and perform wudu in a very good manner, read 2 rak'ahs of salah, and then supplicate and make dua in the following way. And that dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told this person to recite was, Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayk bi nabiyyika Muhammadin nabiyyir rahma, ya Muhammad inni tawajjahtu bika ila rabbi fi hajati hadhihi lituqda li Allahumma fashaffi'hu fiyya. The translation is, O Allah, I ask you and turn to you through your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, merciful Prophet. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I turn to my Rabb through you in this need of mine so that it may be fulfilled for me. O Allah, accept his intercession on my behalf.
Allah.
The companions, alayhim ridwan, they said that that companion got up from there, he performed wudu, he offered 2 rak'ahs of salah, and then he supplicated with the supplication taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say, we were still sitting there when he returned. And subhanallah, when he had gone, he was blind. When he returned, it was as if he had never experienced any ailment whatsoever.
Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. How beautiful it is, Masaf, to take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a wasila, as a medium for our needs.
This is not something which is new, actually.
Right.
You know, if you really think about it, this is the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. It's true, the Quran mentions, وَبْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ.
Right.
That seek a means of approach unto him, unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's clear. But everything around us is a wasila.
Allah.
Our parents are a wasila, a medium for us to enter this world. These clothing are a medium for us to cover our haya, our modesty.
Right.
Our cars are a wasila, a medium for us to travel from one point to another. We ourselves, our legs are a wasila.
Subhanallah.
If we look at it in a broader context,
right,
the doctor is a medium for you to get better. The tablets are a medium for you to get better. The mechanic is a medium for your car to get better.
Right.
Everything around us, your job itself, where you're getting a salary, that salary is a medium for you to pay your bills and to buy your food, etc. So everything in this world is pointing towards that, that we are dependent upon each other. A person can say, I'm independent. Mm-hmm. Even a businessman, he's dependent upon the customers.
Right.
He's a if there's no customers, there's no income, there's no profits. Mm-hmm. So everybody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is the truly independent, is not in need of anybody or anything.
Subhanallah.
And so that's a lesson for us as well. The story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and that slave, that's a lesson for us to learn. That this concept of wasila has been there for thousands of years. So everything around us, only shaitan maybe, and those who follow shaitan, they may have a problem with this.
Right,
but in reality, everything is a medium. Mm. And this concept that we learn is from not from now, it is from, you know, way back when, from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam and even before that as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, very, very beautifully explained, Munasab. And I'm sure that our viewers of Madani Channel have understood this concept much, much clearly, alhamdulillah. Now, when we move on, the second strange thing that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam witnessed was the corpse and the body of Shaddad. But one may ask, who was the Shaddad? Who was he? He was a non-Muslim king of great outward awe and grandeur that he had. Mm. And for our admonition, he is mentioned in the Holy Quran, wherein it is stated, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. Did you not see what your Rabb did to Ad, the people of Iram, towering like pillars, the like of whom were never created in the land? Oh. And in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it is mentioned that Shaddad, he had heard mention of Jannah, of paradise.
Right.
So in defiance, he intended to build a paradise, a heaven, a Jannah in this world. He heard about a paradise and now all of a sudden he got happy, excited. He wanted to make one paradise in this world. So he constructed a magnificent city and whose palaces were built with bricks of gold and silver. Pillars of emerald and ruby were erected, and beautiful pearls were laid instead of pebbles. He had pearls instead of pebbles. Jewels were spread around each palace. Canals were made to flow above them, and various types of trees were planted. So in short, such a magnificent city was built that its like was never built again in the world. And when the city was completed, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, the translation of Kanzul Iman, so your Rabb unleashed a scourge of punishment upon them.
Allah.
Certainly your Rabb is watching. Allahu Akbar. So this is an account to take admonition from. Shaddad, he possessed so much of power, Munasab, immense power and wealth. And the Holy Quran states that a city like the one he built was never built again in the world. Such immense wealth and riches, such power and might. But the end was dreadful. The end, his end was bad, Musab. So even from this here, Musab, the lessons that we take, with nowadays we come across some who, you know, are rich, have so much powerhouse, and they think that they own it all, and they behave in a way where no one is like them ourselves.
So I need to ask a question to myself, especially those who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with lots of wealth.
Right.
Am I trying to create a sort of paradise on earth? Am I trying to live in luxury and extravagance? That's where the problem is, actually. Not with living in comfort.
Extravagance. So that's where the issue is.
Extravagance and wastage. And we see today in the world, like how the previous nations, you mentioned about Aad as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them such physical power. And many other nations as well. That they would carve dwellings in the mountains.
Allah Akbar.
They didn't have the kind of machinery
physical
that we have,
there.
Physical power.
Sure.
They had, and they were boasting about this. Who is stronger than us? Allah Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that. And whenever he wants, he can take it away.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Mm-hmm. And they were completely, you know, there was no sign of them. When the punishments came, they were utterly destroyed and no sign of them. But how many of us, because of my position, my influence, my contacts and connections, I think I'm untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? How many of us? How long is going to last? Because of my power, my wealth, my influence, you know, a person could end up engaging in wastage, wastefulness.
Mm-hmm.
When so many other people, they could be helping, they could uplift the deen, they could spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
With the same wealth that they have.
I heard of people, Muslim people,
right,
that, you know, when they were down and out, then they're always, you know, sad and depressed. And then, okay, they worked hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened their doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then lots of wealth came in.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of wealth came in that they started to go to the casino.
Mm, they forgot their roots.
They forgot their roots. Mm-hmm. One individual, he came to me and he was going through a tough time.
Right.
So whatever advice, whatever ilaj was given. And then things were working out.
Mm.
Money was flowing. And then I get a call. Hey, Masab, I messed up, man. And so much of money was coming, and then I went to gamble,
Allah,
and then, you know, now the money is all gone.
So secondly, lost everything.
We don't take lessons, man. Come on, whatever you have, look at it as a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen. That can be taken away anytime. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu gives you, He can give you very fast, and from sources that you can never imagine. Wallahi, if you have the true trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things happen like you ask from the bottom of your heart.
Right.
And doors open that you can't imagine. But if we don't take lessons, once those doors open, now what is my reaction? Am I still going to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I still going to perform my salahs? Am I still going to obey Allah azza wa jal? Oh, I'm just going to get lost in the colorfulness and the decorations of the dunya.
Allah,
that's what happens to so many people. And then they fall down again and say, oh, I lost everything. But you're not learning a lesson. So many people before you came.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did the wrong things. Allah Jalaluhu. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless a person with an abundance of wealth to test them.
Oh, so an abundance of wealth doesn't necessarily mean a blessing for a person.
For some, it's a blessing.
For some.
For others, it's a test. What are you going to do with this? Let's see what you're going to do with this. Are you going to become haughty and proud and arrogant and, you know, no, I'm only in that 1% category. I don't associate with poor people.
Right.
Is that what you're going to do? It's a test.
Mm.
And, you know, if you learn from the lessons of others, then you know, no. You know what? Okay, I'm going to live a comfortable life, but I'm going to help the deen.
Mm.
And I'm going to search in my family first. Any people who are underprivileged, I'm going to uplift them. I'm not just going to, you know, help them out and then expect anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help them out so that they can get sustainable development.
Selflessly.
Yeah. Like they say, like if you feed a man a fish, then you feed him for the day.
Yeah.
And if you teach him how to fish, you can feed him for his lifetime.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So like that, lessons are there for those who want to take the lessons.
Mm.
Lessons are all around us. We see so many people, one time they right there on the top pedestal because they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, He is the one who gives, He is the one who takes. We need to learn that lesson and keep thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you have.
Right.
Whatever you have. There was a rich man. Okay? And he was powerful, he was rich, but he was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm.
He would spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a pious man,
right?
But rich as well, right? Whatever reason happened, he started to lose his wealth.
Mm.
He lost everything. He lost his family. And he was only left with a shawl.
Allah.
He was sleeping in the streets.
From being so rich,
from being left with
a shawl now.
So then one of his friends, or one of the people who was his previous friends, another rich man, was going by and saw him. Say, hey, you know, you were at one stage so powerful, so rich. You know, you were a pious person and look what happened to you, you know. So he said, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rich man, the one who lost all his riches, He said, I thank my Allah Azawajal. So the other rich man says, now what are you thanking Allah Azawajal for? You lost everything. You lost your family even. You're sleeping on the street. You only got a shawl. Whatever clothes are on Allah your body Allah. And a shawl to cover yourself, that's all. Why are you thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that man says, he says that, I'm thanking him for the things that many of us take advantage of. He said, what do you mean? He says, can't you see? I'm able to see with these eyes.
Subhanallah,
I'm able to hear with these ears. I'm able to talk with this tongue. My legs are okay. My hands are okay. So this is why I'm thanking my Rabb Azza wa Jalla. He's taken everything else. He hasn't taken my sight. He's taken everything else. He hasn't taken my ability to hear, my ability to talk, my ability to think, to walk, to grasp and hold things. Subhanallah. So is that not a lesson for you and I? Whatever our condition is, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And that's so, so crucial, so, so vital and important in a believer's life, Masab, for them, for believers, you know, for Muslims to always be grateful, to always show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the beginning, when we mentioned that by you being grateful, by you showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see barakah in this world, in the grave, and in the hereafter as well. And Masab has mentioned so many beautiful aspects with relation to taking lessons from the previous nations. What happened to the nation of Ad? What happened to the nation of Thamud? What happened to those nations for you and I to take a lesson from it? This world is a deception. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is merely a provision of deception. We think that we are powerful, we think we are young, we think we have money, we have wealth, riches, and a high position. Unrealistic hopes drown some. Some pride themselves on their cleverness and cunning. Some boast of a good voice. And some remain lost in the arrogance of the intellect. So we remain in some, not all, illa mashallah, but some remain in a state of immense pride. But this world is a deception. Time passes without one even realizing it. At the end, Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam arrives and the last gasp for air comes. Our breath chokes and everything remains as it was. Where did the wealth go? Where did youth go? Where did strength go? And where did that position go? So it's something for you and I to think, to always take a lesson. Be the smart one. A smart person, a wise person is he who takes a lesson from others so that you don't end up repeating the same mistake again. That's what a wise person does. And through that, a person's life becomes much more better. A person's life becomes much more prosperous and fruitful. So, Mu'asab, alhamdulillah, this is a very beautiful topic, Mu'asab, for one to take admonition. And there is so much more to discuss, Mu'asab. But as always, we do have a very beautiful kalam. For I think now is that time where we rejuvenate and enlighten our hearts and souls with the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go forward and listen to this beautiful kalam, and we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic of discussion, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madina, 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 phir ja rahe hain ahle mohabbat ke qafile. Madina huzur ka phir madine
پھر مدینے کی جانب چلے قافلے، پھر میری بے قراری کے دن آ گئے، گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، مجھے بلا شہ مدینہ، یہ ہجر کا غم ستا رہا ہے، میں در پہ آؤں یہی تو ارمان دل میں طوفان مچا رہا ہے، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو، قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو، دنیا کی محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو، دنیا کی محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو، بھی گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ، یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ، آفات و بدیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو، آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو، بھی گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں، یا نبی التجا ہے یہ میری موت مجھ کو مدینے میں آئے، نہیں مجھ کو دفنایا جائے، مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں، للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو، للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو، للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو۔ ہے گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو۔ فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے، فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے، اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو، اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو۔ ہے گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو۔ محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے، محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے، شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو، شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو۔ ہے گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو۔ ہے سہنا دشوار یہ جدائی میری، ہو درد شہا رسائی، نہیں بھروسہ زندگی کا یہ دل میرا ڈوبا جا رہا، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ سبحان اللہ، what a beautiful and melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for his beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، آمین یا رب العالمین۔ Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing admonitory examples, and mashallah Muhasab has shed much light on this. And now to go further on, we will be covering some of those nations which have got gotten destroyed, and the reasons for them being destroyed. For example, take the nation of Aad. The nation of Ad was very powerful. They had tall statues and used to carve out mountains to build their palaces. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with wealth and riches, and He bestowed bounties upon them. But what did they do? They denied, they disobeyed. They denied Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam, persisted in kufr, in disbelief, remained determined in committing sins, and they became stubborn. And in the end, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came upon them. How? Allah ta'ala sent a torment of wind upon them, which was extremely cold, dry, and filled with a dreadful stillness that was devoid of, it had no goodness, no blessings. And its intensity was such that it would lift people from the earth as if they were dry trunks of date palms. Then it would thrust them head first onto the ground, shattering them into pieces. And this wind, Masav has mentioned, this wind continued for 8 days on end. 8 days obliterating any trace of the nation of Ad. And then we go on to the nation of Thamud. The nation of Thamud, they were experts in the art of construction. Allah Ta'ala blessed them also with many bounties. He gave them strength, and Allah Ta'ala bestowed wealth and riches upon them. But they were disobedient. They denied Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam, persisted in kufr, in disbelief, and indulged in many, many sins. And finally, the divine punishment also overtook them. How? A major earthquake struck them, causing them to perish. Allahu Akbar. Also, these were the nations of Ad that got destroyed. Nation of Thamud that got destroyed. What other nations are there, Master, so that we can take a lesson from?
Well, besides them, there were so many other nations that because of the disobedience, see, primarily because of the person's or the nation's disobedience, then they suffered. They were perished, right?
Right.
If we look at, for example, Qarun. Qarun as well. He and his people and his followers, you know, they all were finished off.
Right.
And he had power, he had might as well. We look at Haman, we look at Fir'aun, we look at Namrud. Namrud was so arrogant, and look at his end and his army, they were finished off by mosquitoes.
Allahu Akbar.
Fir'aun and his army, Fir'aun was claiming, Na'udhu billahi min dhalik, that he is God.
Allah.
He forced the people to worship him. What happened to him? He and his entire army, they were drowned in that sea. Allah gave so many bounties. And because of the people's rejection of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those bounties were taken away. And those people, they were removed from existence. Be careful who you listen to. You want advice? Don't just take advice from anybody and everybody.
Right.
Ask the pious people for advice. They have experience, and they will advise you of things that are within the framework of the Sharia. If you're going to just take anybody's advice and you follow it, that could lead to your own destruction.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he was asked that, what is the most astonishing thing you have witnessed in your life? Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he was asked, and this is really an eye-opener for you and idea views of Madani channel. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam says that, I once passed through a place that was extremely terrifying and desolate.
Allah.
Then 500 years later, I passed through there again. And this time it had transformed into a most beautiful, lush, green city.
Allah.
And I asked someone there, when was this city built? That person replied, being so astonished, he says that, we and our forefathers have been residing here for centuries. It has always been in the state. So he says that, I left that place, and after another 500 years, I passed through there once more. And this time there was a large river, and people were engaged in fishing. So I asked a fisherman, there used to be a city over here. Where is it gone now? Where has it gone? He replied in amazement, "Was there ever a city over here?
Allah.
Neither I nor my forefathers have ever heard of such a city." He continued, "Then after a further 500 years, I passed through the same place. And this time, it was a city again." Allahu Akbar. So subhanallah, such is this dunya, such is this world. We assume that everything here has remained unchanged for centuries and will continue to do so for centuries to come. But this isn't the reality. It is a deception. This world is ours today. Tomorrow, we shall be in our graves, and this world will belong to another. So there is only one abode of permanence, the hereafter. Therefore, successful is that person who views this world not with the eyes of greed and worldly desires, but with the eyes of reflection and admonition. Mu'asab, we have just around less than a minute left, Mu'asab, and mashallah, we have mentioned so many beautiful accounts. Are there any concluding words from your side, Mu'asab?
Learn from the mistakes and failures of others. That's what the intelligent person does. Think about this, that the lovely home that you may stay in, the lovely car that you may drive, after a few years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, who's going to stay in this home? Will that home still be in existence? So we should think about these things and take lessons in our life.
Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of